Boy, if I heard somebody was going to teach on the book of Revelation, I'd drive a long way to hear it. But we're in chapter 13, if you'll turn there. We won't be moving around much on it tonight. Revelation chapter 13, if you will. And I enjoy studying the book of Revelation. There's no way that you can, from the pulpit, teach a lot of things in any amount of time that people stay interested. You know, you can buy these books on the book of Revelation and it takes you 2 years to read the thing. They're so detailed and complicated. So I said when we started it, I would hit the high spots, and that's what I'm doing. So tonight, now last week, we studied chapter 13, 1 through 9, and we saw the beast out of the sea. And it meant, as we said last week, the sea of people of the earth. You know, there's so many people on the earth, it's like a sea of people. And we talked about how he was going to be a vicious political leader, as in the book of Daniel, chapter 1, I think it is, a vicious political leader. He's going to take over the politics of the world. We talked about that. And boy, is it not ripe for that right now. I was watching C-SPAN today, and the UN, they just put in a new president or something, and boy, they are upset about the things going on in the world, but they're helpless. They can't work together enough to get anything done. So they're still looking for that great leader to slip in there and take over. And boy, the political scene is ripe for that beast to come up out of that sea of people, the UN, the United Nations, and take over the political process. And the commerce, we talked about how he's going to take over the commerce, you know, how he's going to, the banking system and the computer system and the financial systems and the one world currency and all these things. I think I gave you the example. I went to the bank one day and I said, "Would you go back there and bring my money out here and let me look at it? I just want to look at it." I said, "I know you got it. We've been putting it in here a long time. I just want to see it. Can I hold it? Can I just smell it?" And that woman laughed at me. She said, "I can't do that." And I said, "Why not?" She said, "Your money ain't back there." I said, "Where's it at?" She said, "In there." She pointed at the computer. And I said, "Well, how are you going to get it out there and get in my hand?" She said, "If everybody came in here at the same time wanting their money, we couldn't." So it's all getting set up for that one world commercial political leader. And he's going to control the banking system. And if you don't believe it, I guarantee, how many people here have not ever had a credit card or debit card? You don't have one if you've never had one, besides a kid. Everybody's got one. Nobody carries cash. I mean, you might carry a little, but most people, you carry that debit card. And those computers are controlling everything. And now you hear all about this hacking stuff. One day we got a phone call at the house. It was on the answering machine. I didn't pay any attention because it sounded like a China woman. I couldn't half understand her. Told me I needed to call her about our credit card. I thought it was a scam. Well, I didn't. Well, I tried to use the card and couldn't use it. It wouldn't work. So I called the bank and they said, "Yeah, we put a hold on your credit card because somebody in California tried to buy $2,000 or $3,000 worth of stuff at Home Depot on your credit card number." And then another time they put a hold on it and we called them and they said that somebody in, wasn't it London? Papa John's Pizza home delivered in London off my credit card number.
And then another one's the Czech Republic.
Yeah, in Czechoslovakia they had used my credit. See how all this stuff, all the way around the world, is starting to fit together, every bit of it. And we talked about that. So tonight, now we come to chapter 13, verse 11. Chapter 13, verse 11. "And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon." Did you notice that? Now the other one was a beast out of the sea of people. Now he says this is a beast out of the earth. And if you'll think about that, he's talking about Mother Earth. Mother Earth, a religious leader. He's going to unite all these religions of the earth together because they're not heavenly, they're earthly. They're not spiritual, they're carnal, all these religions. And so here, he's rising up. And I want you to notice something about him. He was like a lamb. Like a lamb. Do you remember the first book of Revelation where the rider came in on the white horse and he had a bow but no arrow? And he came in saying, peace, peace. Well, here he is. He's the imposter. He's an imposter. Not a lamb, but look here. He spake as a dragon. Dragon, what did we say that was last week and week before? The old dragon, who did we say that was according to the book of Revelation? Satan. Satan, the devil himself. Amen. So, here's another beast coming up out of the earth. Now, he's a religious personality, and he's going to take control of all the religion on planet Earth. And you go back to the book of Daniel again, study some of that. We haven't got time, but Daniel chapter 2. And he's going to unite all these religions. And he's going to have great power in religious circles. And look at verse 12. And he exercises all the power of the first beast before him. In other words, just as powerful as the first one. And causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. Now you see there? He's a worship director. He's a worship pastor. Amen? Boy, you hear that a lot nowadays, don't you? But he's going to be a religious leader. He's going to have great power, and he's going to cause people to worship that first beast who was the political leader in uniting the whole world together. And he's got a lot of power in religious circles. Now think about this. The two most powerful things on planet Earth are money and religion. Money and religion. If you don't believe it, watch your local news tonight and look what is happening in Aleppo and all over Syria. And listen, that religion caused those wars. Islam has caused more destruction in this past 20 years than any religion on planet Earth. Now, religion's a powerful thing. Religion builds up nations and tears them down. The Roman Empire at one time, the Roman Catholic Empire, just about ruled the whole world at one time. And don't be mistaken, they still rule about a third of the world. They rule almost all of South America, the Roman Catholic Church does. And they still rule over half of Europe, the Roman Catholic Church does. If that Roman Pope calls up the king of that country and tells him, get your army ready and attack the country next door to you, he'll do it. Don't you think he won't? The Pope is the most powerful religious leader on planet Earth right now. It is the richest religion on planet Earth. How many of y'all watch that Christmas thing where they do the big Christmas ceremony? Don't be ashamed. Every once in a while I watch it myself. But if you look at the Vatican where that Pope sits on that throne, look all around him at those columns and those ceilings and those walls. What are they covered with? And it ain't paint. It's real gold. It's real gold. They have their own bank. They have their own currency. Italy will not go against the Roman Catholic Church because if they do, their currency will be destroyed by the Roman Catholic Church. Now, so this man's going to rise up out of a sea of Mother Earth. People worship everything now. My goodness, they worship everything. They get offended at the least little thing when it comes to religion. This fellow told me one day, he said, you don't mind if I tell a Baptist joke, do you? I said, no, I am settled in my faith. You can't hurt my feelings about my faith because I know I got the right one. And the only reason you would get offended is if you wasn't sure about it. Amen. You're not going to hurt my feelings if you make fun of me being a Baptist. I'll just say amen. And they used to call me Ron the Baptist at work. I wasn't ashamed of that. I said, I wish I was John the Baptist. Amen. But they called me Ron the Baptist. That, to them, that an insult. To me, it was a compliment. I said, that don't hurt my feelings. Thank you. Thank you. That's a compliment. But this man's going to be a great power in religious system, and he's going to lead the world to worship the Antichrist. Think about that. Think about that. And now look at verse 13. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. Did you see that? Just like who else? There was a great prophet in the Old Testament, Elijah. And he called fire down from heaven. And he raised the dead. And hey, this false prophet is going to do the same thing. And look, you better be careful when it comes to signs and wonders and so-called miracles. Let me tell you something. The devil is the prince of the power of the air. He has a lot of authority in planet Earth. He has a lot of authority around planet Earth. He can do things, and it's a counterfeit Christ is what it's going to be. And this is a counterfeit prophet pulling fire down from heaven, causing miracles and signs and wonders so that people will listen to him, because he's pointing to the counterfeit Christ. He's a counterfeit John the Baptist. He's a counterfeit Elijah. John the Baptist came before Jesus, and what was he doing? He was doing what Elijah said. He came preaching, make straight the path, make straight the way, and he was preparing the way for the Lord Jesus Christ to start his ministry and come. And this guy's going to do the same thing, but he's going to be a false prophet preparing the way for a false Christ. But a lot of people are going to believe it. How many times has anybody ever said anything to you like this? Well, if there's a God in heaven, why don't he show me a sign? Why don't he give me a miracle? Let lightning strike me right now if there's a God in heaven. Stuff, stupid stuff like that. That's what they're looking for, and he's going to give them exactly what they're looking for. He'll do it. Now, I want you to notice the next verse. Verse 14. And deceiveth them that dwelleth on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast. That's because the Antichrist gives him that power. Saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by a sword and did live. Now, we read that last week. He had a head wound, and he appeared dead. We assume he was. It said he was. And then he rose up, and now here comes the false prophet, and he's going to have them build a statue, an image, like the Antichrist. And he's going to cause the whole world to worship that image. Now, that's idolatry. And you say, well, that's awful. I would never do that. People's doing that every day right now. Yes. How many of you have ever been in a Catholic church? That Catholic church is full of those things. Well, I got the heebie-jeebies. That first one I ever went in, a real one. Go in that one down there in Charleston. That old Catholic church, first one in South Carolina. You go in that front door and you look around, and they don't have them little. They have life-size statues of Peter and John and Mary and all this stuff, you know, all along the walls everywhere. I felt so out of place. I thought, my goodness, how in the world could you call this biblical Christianity with those idols all around? And they pray to them. And when you first go in the door, you can buy a candle. And they fuss because Baptists take up offerings. They sell everything in Catholic church. But you got to buy a candle. And then you take that candle, you can go over to the foot of that saint, they call it, and you can offer up prayers to that saint for your loved ones that's in hell or purgatory, wherever they think they're at, or somebody that's sick and it's supposed to come true. In Sioux City, Iowa, I went there. Tony Green used to have a church in Sioux City, Iowa. There's one hill in Sioux City, Iowa, one big old hill. He said, the Catholic Church owns every bit of the top of that hill. I'm going to take you up there. So we went up. We drove up there, and it's real fancy. And when you get up there, it opens up. There's a little Catholic chapel, and there's a store to sell souvenirs and candles and statues. And then there's a prayer path. Watch out for the prayer path. Churches are starting to get them around here. There's prayer path. That's a whole other story I can tell you later. It's demonic. But they got that prayer path. And it had stations along the way where you can stop and pray to this saint. You can stop and pray to that saint. And you can stop and pray to this saint. And then way down there at the end, it had an artificial cave. It was made out of fiberglass. Artificial cave. And when it didn't have a door. You walked in the front of it, and it was lit only by candles. There was candles everywhere. And at the front door, you could buy a candle. But then you go in there and pray this statue. And then when you go out the back, there's a giant statue of Mary. 30 feet tall. Mary. And those people flock to pray to that statue of Mary. I'm telling you, people will worship an idol. Y'all remember this. Years ago, this lady was in her bathroom. And she saw a stain on her bathroom window, and she said that it was Jesus, Mary and the baby Jesus. Y'all remember that? And people come from all over the country to look at it from the outside and pray to a stinking stain on a bathroom window. Catholics. Another woman, she had a piece of toast, and it looked like Jesus on the toast. And the Catholic priest took it and charged people to come pray to the toast. It's the truth. Amen. Michigan full of those people. You know what I'm talking about. It's full of those people. I'm telling you, religion will deceive more people. Religion will send more people to hell than liquor will. Religion will send more people to hell than all the drugs that have ever been sold. Amen. And this guy's coming along. Let me tell you what he's peddling. Religion. He's not peddling Christ. He's not pushing Christ. He's pushing religion because he's got the Antichrist running around out there, and he's building up his kingdom. And so he builds a life-size statue of him and puts him up and commands people to worship the statue of him. You say, I never would do that. Well, the Bible says that God will send them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie because they refuse to receive the truth. Amen? Boy, you wouldn't believe what some people worship in this world. And you say, I never would do that. It's just by the grace of God that God lets you see the light and that you receive Christ. And now you can see the difference, but they don't see it. So they're blind. They're living in darkness. And this religious leader, as all false prophets, will take advantage of people's biblical ignorance and superstition. He'll take advantage of it. And since the church will not be here, and since the Holy Spirit will be taken out of the way where he can't hinder him, he'll have full control. Let's go on, Luke verse 15. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. People say, well, when the rapture happens, I'll get saved. No, you won't. They'll say, well, I'd get saved before I'd worship that devil. No, no, you won't. These people are not being saved. They just defy the statue. They're not going to worship that statue. But that doesn't mean they're saved. And they'll be killed because they refuse to worship the statue. Now, I'm sure, and we'll get to it later on, there are some of these people that will get saved. But just because they got killed doesn't make them saved. There's people die every day right now These Muslims dying, believing with all their heart that they're not supposed to worship idolatry, and they refuse to do it, and they're killed one way or another in these wars, and you think they go to heaven just because they didn't worship that? No, sir, they don't go to heaven for that. A lot of these people are going to die for no reason at all, really, is what it's going to come down to. And then look at verse 16. And he calls us all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. Now, he's going to lead the world to worship the Antichrist. He's going to be a counterfeit John the Baptist or Elijah. He'll perform miracles as Moses did and Elijah did, but not under the power of the Holy Spirit, but under satanic power. Think about this. Now, people now they laugh at you if you talk, well, you believe in the devil? Sure do. And they'll laugh at you and make fun of you. But let me tell you something. The devil is a powerful being. He's not a spirit. He's a being. He was created by God himself. Now, he is next to the most powerful angel ever created. And he's got supernatural power. And people follow him every day because the Bible says they're deceived by Satan. And they follow him every day and they don't even know it. But the reason they follow him is they've been deceived by a supernatural power. Now, it ain't like these horror movies, you know, zombies and all that junk. It's not that. This is way beyond that. Way beyond that. Now, I believe, one time since I've been saved, I believe I've been in the presence of the devil himself. Other times I've been around, I believe demonic influenced people. But I believe one time that the devil was there, one time when I was. And it was the scary, and I'm saved and going to heaven. But it was the scariest feeling I've ever had in my life. And I'm going to tell you something, I ain't no match for the devil. And you ain't either. And you get to playing with him, you're going to die. Because, listen, he is death. He's not life. He's the opposite of life. And he came to kill and to destroy. And I don't care who you think you are, these movie stars and all that. Now these politicians are doing it. They're doing this spirit worship stuff over bodies and things like that. I'm telling you, they're playing with the devil himself. And there is no win in that situation. He will deceive and he will destroy. And this man's going to be possessed by the power of Satan himself. And listen, he's going to get so powerful, he's going to cause people to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead. Why? To be identified with the Antichrist. Now, the Seventh Adventists will tell you, you know what they say that means? That's going to church on Sunday. That's what the Seventh Adventists say. That's the mark of the beast. It don't make sense. They also say, through the book of Revelation, those two witnesses we talked about that got killed, you know, and lay in the street for 3 days and three nights, and then they resurrected. They say one of those is Sunday worship, and the other one is trying to be saved by anything other than works. That don't even make sense. The devil is deceiving people in churches right now. It's going to be a literal mark. It ain't going to be a chip. We read about that all the time. You know, they're going to put chips in there because now they put them in dogs. Y'all know it. Now, if you got a little dog that runs wild, it might be hard to track them down. They even put them in old people, you know, with Alzheimer's and all, so they can track them. But that's not what he said. He said it's going to be a mark. And they're going to be so proud of what they're following and who they're following, they'll put it on their forehead. Now, I know some of you done dumb things when you was younger and you got tattoos and stuff, but that didn't used to be common, but now it's got so common that people won't think nothing about it because it's so common. Now, it used to be if somebody had a tattoo in their forehead, you'd say, whoa. But now it's just so common. People's getting them. They get them all over them, you know. Some of them get covered with them. And some of you were dumb enough when you was younger to do it yourself. And we understand that. But where sin did abound, grace did that much more abound, thank God. But they're going to have an identifying mark right there or right there, and it's plainly going to be seen, and everybody's going to know the mark of the beast. There it is. And you know what that is? That's selling out 100% allegiance to the devil. You said, "Preacher, I wouldn't do that." Well, I know you won't, because if you're saved, you ain't going to be here. You're going to be raptured out of here. But we're talking about lost, blind people that the Bible says don't know the right hand from their left. They don't know what's spiritual and what's not. And what they think is spiritual is not spiritual. And so these people are going to receive the mark of the beast. Now, I don't know what it is. I know his number, and it's going to tell us that in a minute, 666. And he says that's the number of man. It doesn't say that's a lot of people try to use those numbers to spell out a name. You know, they did Henry Kissinger. They did John F. Kennedy. They did Khrushchev. They did all kind of people's names, and they finagled the letters so that they would end up, you know, with those 666 and all this stuff. I don't know. I just know it's going to be a mark, and it's going to be plainly seen. And everybody's going to know that you are a follower of the Antichrist if you have that mark. Now, everybody's not going to take it. We'll see that later. Everybody's not going to take it. Some are not going to take it just because they're rebellious and ain't going to do what it doesn't matter what anybody says. But others are not going to take it. And those will be the one, we'll get to it later, that will die because they have received faith during the tribulation period, but not the way we did. Because there's no Holy Spirit. Now, if somebody came up and said, "All right, we're all going down to the courthouse tomorrow, and we're getting the mark of the beast, and everybody's going to get it. The government's ordered it." You and I, by the Holy Spirit, would say, "Uh-uh." Bells would go off in our head. Our heart would cut a flip. The Spirit of God would say, "No, no, no, don't do that, don't do that." But in this time, when there is no church, there is no Holy Spirit, nobody's reading the Bible, nobody's preaching the Bible, nobody's getting born again, it's going to be awful hard to say no to what's going on. Danny says that every time he prays. It's hard now. Think what it's going to be like then, when the Holy Spirit's not there to help you. And there are no other Christians that you're afraid to find out. And the preacher can't find out. Nobody. You're all alone trying to live this stuff. And think about how hard Danny prays on it. "Lord, help me. It's hard out there in that world." Well, think how hard it's going to be with no Holy Spirit. Think how hard it's going to be with no church. Think how hard it's going to be when there ain't no bony-fingered preachers standing up crying aloud and sparing not, lifting up their voice. Look, they're going to take the mark, and he calls all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive the mark in their right hand. Now, Daniel chapter 2 talks about that first beast, and I'm not going to get back there tonight. We're out of time. But Daniel chapter 2 talks about the image of that beast. Go back and read Daniel chapter 2. It describes the image of that beast. But I've got news for you. These people won't recognize it as a beast. They're going to recognize it as a statue of their Savior. That's the way they're going to look at it. And then they're going to follow him. Now, the first beast is the Antichrist. The second beast is the false prophet. Don't get that mixed up. Now, you say, "Preacher, I just can't see all this stuff happening." Well, it's already happening. 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. It's already going on. It's setting up. It's beginning right now. 1 John chapter 2, look at verse 18. "Little children, it is the last time." You see that? "It is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists. whereby we know it is the last time. Did you know that the spirit of Antichrist is already here? Now, when John the Baptist came, who did they say he came in the spirit of? Elijah. They said he came in the spirit of Elijah preaching, prepared the way. Now, this Antichrist, his spirit, or what moves him, or motivates him, or empowers him, John said, this is the last time. We're living in the last time right now. And his spirit is already here. And there are already many small a antichrists. Who would ever dream a man named Jim Jones would stand up one day and lead 900 people to a whole foreign nation and then have every one of them commit suicide after him? Who would ever thought that? Jim Jones. Y'all remember that? That's why we say don't drink the Kool-Aid. I hadn't drank Kool-Aid at a church event since then. He stood up, listen, he stood up one day. Now, listen, he started out as a Church of Christ pastor. And he got awards from three presidents for doing civil service work and helping the poor and helping the blacks. And had a big old church, 900 went, but he had 3,000 in that church before they left. And he was very popular, and everybody in that town liked him. He was in California. And as time went on, he became more and more powerful, more and more charismatic. And one day, he took his Bible, and he threw it down on the pulpit, and he put his foot on it, and he said, too many of you in here reading this blankety-blank book, and you're not listening to me. That's when you should have left. We probably should have left way before that, but that should have been the last straw. Amen? He had the spirit of Antichrist. He had the spirit of Antichrist. Now, those people's all over the world. There's one in Mexico right now that calls himself the Antichrist. He makes everybody in his church get a tattoo, 666 or 666 right there. And he's got thousands of followers. I wish I could remember his name. I wouldn't be able to pronounce it, but I could spell it and you could look him up. But really, this man is charismatic. He is sharp. I mean, he's a sharp dresser, sharp talker. They sing music and they clap, you know, and they have a good time at church. But they have to dedicate themselves to that man. He is an antichrist. He's already got the spirit of antichrist in him. There's a bunch of them. Now, you say, I just don't believe nobody following the antichrist. They're already doing it. Our churches are full of them. Listen, real quick. Look at 1 John chapter 4, verse 3. I got to quit. 1 John chapter 4, verse 3. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. You see that? That's all religions that do not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. That's Islam, that's Hindu, that's whatever you want to say. And then look at this. And this is the spirit of Antichrist. Now, anti means opposite of. This is the opposite spirit of Christ. It's the Antichrist. Whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already it is in the world right now. You know the only thing the devil's waiting on? A trumpet. He's waiting on the same trumpet you and I are waiting on. Amen? Da-da-da-da! Come up hither. And then when we're all out of here, the spirit of Antichrist will be the only spirit here. Because the Holy Spirit's going out with us. And then the Antichrist, he can start moving. And that spirit will be the prevalent spirit because the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, hinders that spirit. He said, but when he be taken out of the way, that's when the Antichrist is going to show up. Now you'd have to be an ostrich with your head buried about 3 foot in the sand not to see stuff going on in the world right now is leading up to this. any religion in the world is supposed to be honored. And any religious person, it don't matter if they worship dogs, is supposed to be honored except ours. Any of them. You can make fun of Christianity. You can make fun of the Bible. You can make fun of Jesus. A teacher in California had to take the Snoopy Christmas poster off her door because it had the scripture on it the other day. And the federal judge told that principal, and by the way, that wasn't school system, that was that principal, told that principal, you got to let her put that back up there because she has the right to do that. And that principal said, I'm not going to do it. It offends Muslims. And the Obama, the President Obama built a special room in the White House so that the Muslims working under him could go to prayer five times a day. He built that room just for them. Well, Trump says he's getting rid of it. Amen. Now, why is it that everybody in the world gets freedom except the real spirit of Christ? Because the world's setting it up. The old devil, he's working. And you say, preacher, that's kind of scary. No, that's exciting because, see, we got to leave before he comes. Sister Jean's going to have a fit in a minute. We got to leave before he can come. So that means the more it gets like that, the closer we are to getting out of here. The trumpet's going to sound any minute. Any minute. I believe that. I'm disappointed every day when that trumpet sounded. I'm not scared of dying, but I'd rather fly than die. Amen. Wouldn't you rather fly than die? Amen. Amen. Write that one down. I'd rather fly than die. Amen. Amen. The trumpet's going to sound. We're flying out of here. And you say, preacher, with all this stuff about the Antichrist and everything scares me. Well, if you got the Spirit of Christ in you instead of the Spirit of the Antichrist in you, you know you've got the victory and it doesn't scare you. Amen. Listen, we don't have to worry about that kind of stuff. Jesus is coming in all his glory. Hallelujah. Trump is going to sound. We're leaving here. And let me tell you something. Does it really matter to us what happened after that anyway? No. This is written so we can warn others. Really, this is written so we can warn unbelievers, not believers. I mean, as far as we're concerned, our stops in Revelation chapter 4. He said, I heard a trumpet sound, and somebody said, come up hither. And you don't see the church mentioned again in the book of Revelation until chapter 19 when we come back with him. So really, as far as we're concerned, we can close the book, Revelation chapter 4, not worry about the rest of it until you get to chapter 19 and then come back with him. But it's there so we can warn other people. And people will get saved, by the way. That's how I got saved. I got scared of the rapture. I got scared of the second coming. I had nightmares about it and everything else. And the Lord used that to bring me to Christ. Now, I know if you go to work and you start talking about this stuff, they're going to say, you believe in flying saucers too? You believe in little green men? And I always, at first I tried to defend myself, but then I got to where I'd say, if it's in the Bible, I do. Hadn't seen it, but if it's in there, I'd believe it. Amen? Yeah, they believe in something. Amen. The wheel within the wheel. All right, we're out of time, but next week we're going to come back and we're going to start right where we left off, and I'm going to give you a little bit more about that mark of the beast. Let's stand. Father, help.